Good morning. Thank Kennedy for leading that song. That's another song that we've been working on Sunday nights. And so if that was new to you, I encourage you to attend those Sunday night, second Sunday night song services where we're learning new songs. And so that was a great job by Kennedy. If you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll be reading there in just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, as I was growing up, I wanted to be just like Dad. And I think I've told you some of these stories before, but, when I would watch my dad shave, I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And so Dad bought us, me and my brothers, a can of shaving cream and some children's razors, and we would sit there with Dad and we'd pretend to shave our face. I know you can't tell now, but I used to shave. And, you know, he would have his tool belt and he would work around the house. And, of course, we had to have a little tool belt as well. And, you know, we would walk around with our tool belts and we would help him fix things. And we were probably just getting in the way more than we were helping. But there was a time in my childhood where I wanted to be just like Dad. And I wanted to be just like him. And what he did, I did. And where he went, I went. And then there is a time, and every teenager goes through the time, where we want nothing to do with Mom and Dad. And Mom and Dad knew nothing, and they don't know what they're talking about. They were never teenagers, and they don't know the problems teenagers have to go through. But then there was a time, probably around the time Brooke and I got engaged, where I realized, you know, Dad knows a little bit of what he's talking about. And as I got married, I realized Dad knows really what he's talking about. And now that I have a child, it's Mom and Dad are constantly on the phone, and they always knew what they were talking about. You know, when you're little and you want to be like Mom and Dad, little things get thrown out around like, it's like having a little shadow. Your mom or dad's a little shadow. And, I used to get all the time, you're a spitting image of your parents. And I'm sure some of you have heard that before. But what I'd like to know is how many of us have ever been compared that way to Jesus? Where someone can look at us as a Christian living in this everyday world and they can say, man, you're a spitting image of Jesus Christ. Man, you're like Jesus' little shadow. What he does, you do. Where he goes, you go. I mean, you're just like Jesus. How many of us could say that someone has said that about us? You know, listen to some of these things that the New Testament writers said, like Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. He said, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. And he would go on to say, they're not just imitating him, but imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That idea of, I'm Christ's shadow. I want to be a spitting image of Christ. In Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. And in chapter 4 of the same book, in verse 9, it says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word and much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. I mean, time and time again, you get this idea of the New Testament writers, specifically the apostles, are saying, hey, you should be acting like us. Not because we're anything special, but because we're trying to follow the example that Jesus brought as well. We're trying to be just like Jesus. The things that you have learned and you've received and heard and saw in me, I learned them from Christ. And so you should be doing these things. And so what we need to understand is these applications are to us as well. And we are to be just as much like Christ as the apostles were and as the New Testament Christians were and as everyone in between was supposed to be. And if Christ is the model, then we are to be the mirrors. That when someone looks at us, they should be able to see Christ in return. Christ is our model in so many different ways. And I'm going to just list a few, but really the list can go on, and time would fail us to talk about how we can look at Christ and how we can model ourselves after Him. But Christ is our model in love. Like Christ's love for the church, as we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, where he tells his husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And that he would lay down his life for us, for his friends. And John chapter 15 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Christ came down here and showed us his love, and then he tells us we should have that same kind of love. And so he's our model in love and in compassion. that when Jesus saw someone who was sick and who had infirmities, he saw a need and he took care of it. When Jesus saw someone that was possessed by demons, he didn't just pass by on the other side of the road, but he took care of them. He took care of physical needs, of hunger. He had compassion on the lowest people of society and even on their sinful nature. That Christ is our model in the way he served others. Jesus washed his own apostles' feet in John chapter 13. And we looked at just last week that Jesus came to serve and not be served. That he humbled himself even to the point of dying on a cross. We also see that Christ is our model in forgiveness. That Christ told us that we should forgive other people, not 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That there's no limit on how often we should forgive other people. That he forgave us of our sins, we should also forgive other people of their sins. He taught us how to be loyal and obedient. That he was obedient, like we talked about in Philippians chapter 2. He found that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. And these are things that we understand Christ did. And we understand that we are to imitate Christ and try to be just like him. But sometimes, if we're just going to be honest with ourselves, that task seems insurmountable. That Christ tells us that we need to be perfect just as his Father in heaven is perfect. But asking sinful people that are living in a sinful world to be perfect, that's a hard task to ask. And sometimes we see that task that is set before us, a task to mirror a perfect image of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we cannot be perfect in return. And sadly, too many people look at that task, say, I can never possibly do that, and so we just quit. And we decide that we don't want to even try. What's the use? It's kind of like looking at this mountain here. If I were to tell you that I think you could climb this mountain, this is Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world. Many of us would look at this picture and say, no, I would never do that. I would never even attempt to climb the mountain right next to it, let alone Mount Everest. It's too high. I'm not trained for this. I wouldn't even make it a quarter of the way up before I have to turn back down because I'm too cold or I'm too hungry or whatever the situation may be. But let me ask you about this verse here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there is no task that is too big. There is no task that is too great when we have Jesus on our side. That when Christ is behind us, doesn't he say that our faith can move mountains? Let alone maybe try to climb one? And I understand that that's an example, and we're probably none of us are going to go out and try to climb Mount Everest. But sometimes we see Mount Everest in our lives. And sometimes we see mountains that are just too difficult to climb, and so we don't want to try at all. But when Christ is on our side, we can do anything we put our mind to. And so how can I, a sinner living in a sinful world, be like our sinless Lord? The answers are easy that we normally give, and I've preached on some of these, but most of the time our answers are, well, if we pray more, we meditate in His Word, we read our Scriptures, we always rely on God, well, then you're well on your way to becoming more like the Lord. And sometimes those are the easy answers, and sometimes those are easier said than done. I want to look at just a few points this morning on how I think we can learn to discipline ourselves, we can learn to grow in the nature of the Lord, we can learn to mirror Christ in our everyday lives. Along with praying more and studying our Scriptures more and those kinds of things, there's other things we can do. And really, I just have really two simple answers on what I think we can start doing now today to start mirroring the life that Jesus lived. The first one I want to suggest to you is it takes discipline to be like Christ. It takes discipline on a daily basis. Read again what Keyshawn read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. And listen to how Paul reacted to being a Christian in everyday life. He said, "Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He uses this example of an athlete. And really, we're on the tail end of the Winter Olympics. And this has been fresh on everybody's mind. An athlete or an Olympic athlete, they daily train their body. I've watched a few interviews with specific athletes, some of the bigger athletes, you know, that have been competing for the United States. And many of them say that they're in the gym six, maybe even seven times a week. And the gym is their full-time job. They're there five, six, seven, almost 8 hours. Some of them hold full-time jobs, but they're still at the gym every day to get ready for the sport that they're participating in. They're on specific diets. They're on specific exercise regimens. They discipline themselves to reach their goal. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, if our goal is heaven and our goal is to mirror Christ and to be more like Christ, are we daily giving ourselves to Him? Are we disciplining our body so that when we run the race, Paul says, we're not just running to win. We're not just running with uncertainty. We're not fighting as one who beats the air, but we're running and fighting with a purpose. He says, and because we have a purpose, our purpose, he says in verse 25, is the imperishable crown. It's heaven. He says, so I discipline my body and bring it into subjection so that when I preach to others, I myself should not become disqualified. Are we daily giving ourselves a diet of God's Word? Exercising our knowledge, growing in the Word of God. Athletes will give their lives to their sport and their profession. And I wonder how many of us would give our lives to growing in the Lord. They say it takes 21 days to form a habit. That if you were to do one thing every day for 21 days, it then becomes a habit to where it becomes part of your daily routine or who you are as a person. I wonder how many of us would dare to give 21 days, 21 straight days of praying every day, or reading the Bible every day, or looking back on those simple answers I said just a few moments ago, and actually doing them. You know, when we look at Christ, Christ continued to grow, like in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, where it says, Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and with men. And I preached a lesson on this some time ago, where Jesus had to discipline himself, and he could have had any excuse in the book to say, you know what, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Lord, I don't need to discipline myself, I've already obtained everything. I have my seat waiting for me in heaven. But yet what we see Jesus do is we see Him continually growing. Continually disciplining himself to become stronger in the faith. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 17. It says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Just before that, he was talking about people who would come and who would twist the Word of God and who would teach falsely the Word of God. And he says, you know that there's going to be people out there who are going to try to pull you away from being like the Lord. They're going to try to pull you away from being like Jesus. And he says, since you know that sin is in the world, since you know that people are out there, beware of it, but continue to grow, he says. Continue to be steadfast in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, discipline our bodies and grow each and every day so that when the sins and the temptations do come, we'll be better equipped and more disciplined to fight against them. But discipline only goes so far, and working on it only goes so far. Think about these Olympic athletes for a second that we've been watching, if you've been watching, the past couple weeks. Every athlete that partook in the Winter Olympics these past few weeks disciplined themselves on a daily basis. But very few of them were actually able to show the world that they are the best in their sport. And they were finally able to put all the practice and all the time spent in the gyms and all the eating regimens and exercise regimens, they were finally able to put what they've been doing for years into practice. And as Christians, we have that same obligation. We can talk all day about disciplining ourselves and gaining knowledge and becoming stronger in the Lord, but if we're not putting those words into action, then what have we really accomplished? And did you notice that each one of the things was not in word only? Christ did not just tell his apostles and disciples to have the attributes of love and compassion and servanthood and forgiveness and loyalty and obedience. He didn't just tell them to have these attributes. He told them to live them. In John chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In other words, the way Jesus was acting, the way Jesus was talking, the miracles he was performing, the things that he was doing, the works he was doing in his Father's name, they were bearing witness to him. You know, I've had to think about some things recently, just being a father, about telling Landon to do one thing, because he's now at that age where he's understanding no, he's understanding yes, he's understanding when mom and dad are doing something and he wants to try to mimic what we're doing. You know, he sees me combing my hair, Brooke brushing her hair, and he'll try to grab something and he'll, you know, do it himself. And so he's at that age where he's starting to learn, you know, to follow the example that has been set before him. And I wonder how many of us will tell our kids, or maybe your teacher or grandkids, or, you know, your students or your friends even one thing, but then do the complete opposite. How much sense would it make for me to tell Landon not to do something? Not to bang on the table with one of his toys. He has a little drumstick. And let's say Brooke says, you know, Landon, don't bang on the table with the drumstick. And then I take the same drumstick and I, you know, hey, Landon, look at this. And I start banging on the table with the drumstick. How much sense would that make when parents are trying to tell their children something and tell them not to do it, but then they go ahead and do it anyways? You know, Jesus, we never had to question that with Jesus, did we? Jesus never told us, yeah, I think you should be loyal. I think you should be compassionate. I think you should be loving. But then we never read about Jesus not being loving and not being compassionate. I say this all the time, and I'm sure you're tired of me saying it, but I believe it wholeheartedly, that Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he wasn't willing to do himself. That Jesus not only talked the talk, but he was able to walk the walk. Jesus had been through everything. He never asked his disciples to do something he wasn't willing to do himself. And in fact, if you turn, we looked at one of these verses already, but in the book of John, in chapter 15, he says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He's almost saying, you want to see how much I love you? Well, you're going to see in just a little while, because I'm going to die for you. And in verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You know, and that's the thing. A lot of people want to look at being a Christian as such a bad thing because the world doesn't understand and the world kind of beats us down and makes fun of us because we believe in Christ or we don't believe in the things of the world. And Jesus gives us reassurance there. He says, listen, I'm not asking you to be the only ones that are hated here. That if they hate you, know that they hated me first, and they probably hated me more than they hated you. And I've heard that argument so many times when I talk to people about, you know, being hated for being a Christian or for loving Christ. People always say, well, they don't hate me, they hate the name I carry. That's Christ. But it still doesn't mean that we can't put our words into action. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says this. Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. We have a responsibility of everything we do to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at our lives, although imperfect, we are a living picture of our perfect Savior. I get this all the time, and I haven't figured out if it's a good or a bad thing yet. But whenever my parents come up, and even Brooke has started to say this to me, they say, you turn more into your father every day. I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing. I hope it's a good thing. Wouldn't it be great if someone can say that to me about my Heavenly Father? Wouldn't it be great if someone can walk up to us and say, you know what, you're turning more and more into your Heavenly Father every day. He is our shepherd and our counselor, and we should be striving to be more and more like Him every day. We are to follow His footsteps. So many times we want to go carve our own path on what we think is right, on what we think is true. But we should be following His footsteps. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus didn't say there, if anyone desires to be like me, let him go find his own cross and let him carve his own path. Hey, and we'll work at this all together. He says, listen, you're going to follow me. You're going to take up your cross and you're going to get right in line behind me. You're going to follow my footsteps. And we're going to do this together, but you're going to follow my footsteps. He left us an example to follow. Staying in John chapter 13 and verses 12 through 16. As Jesus is cleaning the feet of His apostles. So we can wash their feet in verse 12 of John 13. So we can wash their feet, taking His garments and sat down again. He said, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. When we look in the mirror, what do we see? Do we see someone that needs to make changes? Do we see someone who is sick and tired of looking in the mirror and seeing nothing? Do we see someone who looks in the mirror and questions whether or not Jesus would approve of what we're doing? Do we look in the mirror and see someone who is sorry about the path that they've taken in life? Or do we see someone who is trying earnestly and honestly to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? When someone looks at me, what do they see? Can they see Jesus? We sing a song that says, I may be the only Bible the world ever reads. The responsibility that we have to be like Christ and to mirror Christ is great. But don't look at the task and think that it's unattainable. Don't look at the task and think that it can never be done, because Jesus tells us it can be done. God would not send us on a mission that He thinks we can fail. God would not send us on a mission that He thinks that we won't accomplish. He told us that we can succeed. He told us that He's expecting us to succeed, but we have to make that choice whether or not we want to be with Him in heaven. And so again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He's saying, I'm not going to give anyone a reason to doubt who I am and what I believe in, to doubt who I follow. He says, because I'm trying to obtain that imperishable crown. I wonder how many people are here this morning that would like to receive that imperishable crown. That have maybe made some bad choices, and when you look in the mirror, you realize you've got to make some changes. Well, the opportunity is now. You know, Jesus, as He was washing His apostles' feet, as He got to Peter, do you remember Peter's reaction? He said, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. We should be washing your feet. Jesus said something there that really must have humbled Peter. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no part in me. Isn't that so interesting? That here's someone who's followed Jesus, who's given up everything to follow Him for almost 3 years now. And Jesus said, yeah, but if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. If we're not washed by Jesus, that is through the waters of baptism, we have no part in him. How can we really be like Jesus if we have no part in him? How can we really be like Jesus if we're not living for Jesus and in Jesus and he's living in us? And so if you're subject to the invitation this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.